Just a short thought to share with you tonight. I am a rabbi. I am not an attorney, although it was possible that I might have been one at one time. I had a thought, but instead of being a lawyer, I married one. I survived law school and a bar exam as a very loyal boyfriend, fiance, husband. I went through all of that as we went through it. Now, I don't know that I could today pass a civil procedures class or a criminal law exam, but between my vicarious pseudo law school education by osmosis, I learned law and Karen learned Talmud. Actually, she knew Talmud beforehand, but that's a different story. But between the law education I picked up, 27 subsequent years of legal conversations, and enough Law and Order episodes on TV, I count myself as a pretty decent observer of the legal world. So I can say, what a week for the law this week has been. The Supreme Court heard sophisticated constitutional arguments why or why not former President Trump should be barred from the ballot. Did you ever think you would know so much about insurrections and the 14th Amendment to the Constitution? The special counsel decided not to bring charges against President Biden for mishandling classified information, saying that no evidence proved a willful intent to break the law. And while all that was going on, Congress failed several times to pass laws, including ones that would protect our southern border, revamp the immigration system, and appropriate funds to Israel, Ukraine, and to Taiwan. It is not at all lost on me, nor should it be on you, that this doozy of a legal week comes when the Torah portion this week is called Mishpatim, which means rules or laws or commandments. This follows last week where we read of the giving of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Moses is still up on the mountain. Actually, he's up and down and up and down and up and down. But during this week's Torah portion, he receives a whole host of different laws and commandments on different legal topics, from capital punishment to injury law, slavery, property damage, theft, bribery, gossip, the courts, keeping kosher, 53 new laws in total. Right? Now, we're going to look at those laws in just a moment and their reasons for them in just a moment. But in honor of Parshat Mishpatim, this Torah portion about laws and commandments, and in perhaps reflection of the craziness of our laws in our country, I take just a minute to point out a few of the more unusual laws that are on the books somewhere in the United States. Did you know that in Washington State, in a law dating back to 1969, quote, the slaying of Bigfoot is thereby declared to be a felony punishable by 5 years in prison. I will note this law was later amended designating Bigfoot as an endangered species. In Vermont, you are not allowed to ban clotheslines. You are not allowed to pass a law that outlaws clotheslines. I don't know why you would want to, but there's a rule that you can't. In Tennessee, you are not allowed to hold public office if you have fought in a duel. Now, it later clarifies you can fight in a duel outside of the state of Tennessee and not be barred, but not inside the state of Tennessee. Oklahoma has a law that says, quote, every person guilty of secretly loitering about any building with intent to overhear discourse therein and to repeat or publish the same to vex, annoy, or injure others is thereby guilty of a misdemeanor. Anybody want to translate that legalese? No eavesdropping. In North Carolina, it is illegal to hold a meeting or a demonstration while wearing a mask, hood, or other costume. Now, this is not anti-clown or anti-superhero. This probably dates back to cracking down on the Ku Klux Klan. In Missouri, it is illegal to have more than 2 garage sales in a particular location during the course of 1 calendar year. You can have a garage sale twice, but don't do it a third time. Louisiana bans bear wrestling. You cannot wrestle a bear in Louisiana. Kansas. God bless Kansas. Two of my favorite of the random laws I found. In Kansas, apparently it is illegal to serve ice cream on top of a piece of cherry pie. I don't know why or what that is, and I don't think it's other pies, just cherry pies. Oh, and also, there's a, I think it's Topeka in Kansas that has outlawed whaling. Wait for that one to sink in. Where's Kansas? Where do whales live? Right. Finally, in the 1960s, the United States passed a law that says, no person may engage or attempt to engage in any weather modification activity in the United States without first notifying the Secretary of Commerce. That is to say, all you supervillains out there with space lasers or rainmaking, whatever it is, you're not allowed to do that. A little bit of silliness just to show what passes for laws. In contrast, most of the laws that Moses gets from Moses, from God on Mount Sinai in Mishpatim, make a little bit more sense or have a little bit better interpretation. Some of them are a little far out there. Exodus 21:17 says, those who insult their parents shall be put to death. I know we're all in trouble, aren't we? There is a rule that says, 21:35 teaches, if your ox injures your neighbor's ox and your neighbor's ox dies, you have to sell your live ox and divide the price and give half of it as restitution to the other person. Oh, and you also divide the dead animal. There's a commandment, 22:17 in Exodus, that says, do not tolerate sorceresses. And in 22:30, do not eat flesh torn by beasts in the field. You should cast it to the dogs. It says so in Torah itself. Look, despite these odd ones, there are, in fact, most of Mishpatim's rules and regulations that do exist for the good of society and that we could certainly relate to. There's a teaching that says, if you own an open pit, a hole in the ground, and somebody else's animal falls in it and is injured and dies, the pit owner has to pay restitution to the animal owner. Why does that make sense? Why is this a good thing? John. The pain, the damage that they cause. That's right. Why would we want to have a law like this? This is the interactive part. I'll ask questions, you'll give answers, right? Why have a law like this? What purpose does it serve? Okay, to take, very good, that's right. Reminds us we are responsible for our actions, right? Protecting the public safety. You own a pit, you have to take the right precautions to make sure that it is safe, right? There's a law in 22:4 that says, if your livestock gets loose and grazes in another land, in another person's land, and eats that land bare, you must pay restitution, you must pay them back. Right? What's the reason for this? Okay, so that you're not stealing their ground, that's right. It's anti-theft, right? Why else do we want a law like that? At home, you can play along as well if you want to put answers in the chat. And why else do we want a law that says your animal grazes on someone else's land? It's a deterrent to that. That's right, that you don't want that to be, right? And it, look, makes you accountable for our neighbors. Grayson tomorrow morning is going to teach us a couple of these, right? That in 22:2-3 says, do not side with the mighty or show deference to the poor. What's that one about? Grayson, you can't answer because you know the answer. We studied this one, right? Do not show deference to the mighty. Don't side with the mighty or show deference to the poor. What's that all about? No bias. No bias. That's right. Right? About justice, judging fairly. Right? You're not allowed to take bribes. Why not take bribes? It's... Go ahead, Grayson. Tell us. That's what it says right here. Exactly. It's almost like you knew that verse. Right? Bribes blind the clear-sighted and upset the pleas of the just. Right? There's a section that says, if you lend money, If you lend money to your kinsmen, you shall charge no interest. This is actually the root, the origin of Hebrew Free Loan Societies. Have anybody ever heard of the Hebrew Free Loan Societies? Once upon a time in immigrant days in major American cities, there were organizations that were designed to help new Jewish immigrants, the Jewish community, to help one another, interest-free loans. They still exist to this day to be of help. There's a teaching that says, if you make a loan to someone and you take as pledge, as collateral, their garment, their sleeping cloak, you must give it back to that person at night. What else will they sleep in? Right? We have to treat each other well. Twice in this portion in Mishpatim, we get the admonition, do not oppress the stranger, two of the 36 odd times that it is said in all of Torah. And there's a passage as well that cautions communal leaders, do not mistreat the widow or the orphan. There's a punishment associated with this one. Otherwise, your wives and your children will become widows and orphans. God is pretty clear about how we are supposed to treat the most vulnerable in our society. Look, overall, again, Grayson will do a masterful job of teaching us this tomorrow morning, right? The point of the laws in Mishpatim are to tell us to do the right thing, to take care of other people, to treat others fairly and justly. It's a little bit better than some of the more kooky laws that we sometimes have, or the lack of laws in our country. On this Shabbat, as we study Torah portion Mishpatim, we come to understand that just laws lead to the proper and the best working of society. We can pray that our Congress, that our courts, that our president come to understand this as well, and recognize that the rule of law and its proper and just implementation help us come closer to the world, to the perfected world that God intends for us to have. King Yehi Ratzon, may this be God's will, and together let us all say, Amen. Amen.